Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
And he just like pulls a chair, flips it around, sits on it backwards. And it becomes really clear. First of all, he's holding the chef's knife casually and he has a gun. I was like, locks have been changed. We're locked out. I pay to live here. Like, I just want my stuff and I will go. And I called the cops. What was even weirder about this is I swear to you, she bought an apron for the occasion.
Here is part 2 of our interview with Chelsea.
I do know that Rachel was probably only there for a month. Like, it was very soon after that that we both were like, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Because you also feel a little crazy. Like, Elle has all of these people surrounding her all of the time who really would live or die for her. And you have to ask yourself, like, am I like a square? Am I a stick in the mud? Am I wrong? Am I missing something?
Chelsea, I've done that. I do that sometimes. I'm like, am I crazy?
Yeah. And so I think having Rachel in the scenario, validating what I saw or was seeing, and even bringing it up first in many situations, made me feel like, okay, we can call this what it is now. And we devised a plan. I don't remember exactly what the lie was, but I do remember being like, we can't make her mad. You know, we live in the house. Like, we live in this house. She has access to all of our things. Like, we can't make her mad. Because making her mad, we already knew meant making our lives a living hell, however that looked like. And so, yeah, we like came up with a lie and we were like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to give her 60 days notice. We're going to tell her that we both got jobs in Boston, you know? So like, it doesn't make sense for us to live here. Like, we have to make it irrefutable and not personal. And we have to give her so much notice that she can't possibly say she's been put out. And like, we couldn't even afford to really do that. But we found a way to do that, to pay her rent while also possibly paying rent somewhere else, you know? And yeah, that went to shit quickly.
Yeah. So how did you, okay, so you were like, we got to get out of here. We're going to tell her that we're moving to Boston and that's the story. And then like one day you did like, did you in person or did you call or text her? Like, what was the situation?
Yeah. So like I said, I don't actually remember what the lie was. I just know that we made one. And I do remember me and Rachel were at dinner and we were like, how are we going to do this? And then we came up with this irrefutable lie, whatever it was. And we were like, okay, we're feeling good about this. Maybe 3 margaritas in, maybe that's how we're feeling good, but we're feeling good. And we sent her a text message. I think I did it because I was closer with Elle. As soon as Rachel moved in, Elle had a lot of jealousy going on, which we can also talk about. But so I was definitely the one to send the message because I knew like if Rachel had done it, it would have been awful.
Can I ask you a quick question on that? Did you, prior to sending the message, were you having anxiety about sending it?
Oh my God. I mean, I needed to be 3 margaritas at deep. Like, it was a necessity. I was like sweating, shaking, as was Rachel. We were both like, oh my God, how is this gonna end for us? Like,
she has a fucking gift.
And, you know, I don't know that either of us had in our mind any real idea, right? Like, I don't think that we were specifically scared of a certain scenario. I think we just knew generally that it was not going to be good. She's scary when she's mad, man. Like,
well, yeah, the jealousy thing. What was that? Because that's, you know, behavior that maybe one day I'll listen to Blink in episode, I think it's 13, goes pretty heavily into like some versions of that and how she kind of helped and worked with Jake like through his situation. But yeah, what was the jealousy stuff?
Yeah, so I mean, like I mentioned, right, as soon as we met, we definitely, it felt kismet, like we were connected for sure. And I don't think she realized that I slowly like moved away from that feeling, and or quickly, I guess it's all relative. And then when Rachel moved in, I mean, suddenly I was getting text messages that I wouldn't even get from a jealous boyfriend. Like, her expectations of me were so wild. I would be like at the grocery store and I would receive 3 pages of just like, are you guys really going to go to dinner and not even invite me? Like, I invited you to live in my house. I work so hard for this house. I have people lined up to be my friend, to live here, to this, to that, whatever. And I would just be like, I'd like send her a picture of like, you know,
eggs. Awesome. I'm getting eggs.
Like, yeah. I'd just be like, do you want something? Like, I don't know where this is coming from.
Novels. I've received those as well.
And like I said, I mean, Jake, no offense, but like, I didn't even marry this girl. You know what I mean? Like, I've lived with her for a month and I'm getting these text messages and I'm just like, and part of me at first is a little bit like, okay, maybe she's like manic depressive. I don't know. You know, like maybe this is really a trigger for her. Maybe she's like, maybe this is more something, right? And so I think I came in the beginning at it from like a very apologetic standpoint where I was just like, oh my God, I'm really sorry if this is how you feel, because that's not, you know, my intention. But then I, you know, you think about it for one more second and you're like, wait, what? Like, am I not allowed to leave the house? Am I not allowed to like spend time with anyone else? Because tough shit, like I have 3 jobs and I'm a full-time student. So I can't be here with you all day apparently while you're not at work. Like, that's just not reality for me.
And so when you would get home and you were like, I was at the grocery store, would she be like, and again, 11 years ago, but would she be like, oh, I'm sorry? Or would she be like, oh, I just wanted to make sure that I was invited to something?
Oh, neither.
In case it was going on.
She would completely pretend like it never happened.
Damn.
And, you know, I remember like, so I was in a bedroom, like when I lived there, I had a bedroom and Rachel was up in a loft. So she didn't even have walls to her room. It was like a ladder up to a loft. And I just remember we would like text each other from like under our covers, essentially being like, okay, I'll leave now. You leave in 20 minutes because we don't want it to even seem like, and we'd both be going to work. You know what I mean? Like, we weren't even hanging out, but we were like, we don't want to add to this narrative at all. Like, we just don't need it, you know?
So crazy you guys had to do that, but I can see it. I also unpacked that loft and I know exactly, like, I can picture you guys doing that and I can feel what it felt like to have to like plan to get away and get out of, like, without her putting it together, which is,
yeah.
And you're right, you know, I was married to her, but like I get how she could do that to anyone she wanted to.
Yeah. And I could definitely see her pattern was to latch really hard to someone and something until it no longer served her. And then she would pretend like that thing never existed. And she would latch on to the next. And I was just like waiting for my moment for her to unlatch. But then you're also kind of scared of that because you're like, well, I live with her. So what does that look like? You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's an attempted murder.
Is it?
I don't know. I'm just, you know, just saying things.
Right.
Oh God. So you send her a text. It's like, okay, we are moving. And then you go home. And what were you met with a chill reaction to that?
So it definitely wasn't chill, but I can't remember the exact sequence of events. Like, was it later that night? Was it a different day? I'm not sure. What I vaguely remember is that she made herself scarce for a few days. And I only remember that because I remember having so much anxiety about the first time I would see her after sending that message. And it kept not happening. And I kept being like, oh my God, I just want to get this over with because this is even worse, you know?
Chelsea, I can feel what that feels like. Like, I know what that feels like. Yep.
And then it, yeah. So when it finally happened, because the shoe was going to drop, right? I just didn't know how or when.
So you sent these messages. You didn't see her for a few days. She just like kind of disappeared to you.
Yeah. And like I said, like she has lots of friends. You know, she was always really busy, like socially. I mean, it's a little weird that she was hanging out with people and it wasn't at the house. But, you know, I just figured like, oh, this is uncomfortable for her too. Great. We're all really uncomfortable. Perfect.
And you're just walking around as a ball of anxiety for several days.
Yeah.
Okay.
So me and Rachel went to work. One of my jobs at the time happened to be with Rachel. We worked at the same place in the mall. And we were both closing. And so we both got out at the same time. And we went home and we were met with absolute chaos. It was Elle and some dude in the kitchen cooking. Honestly, it looked like they were pretending to cook. It was so, I really can't even explain to you how surreal this all was. And we're trying to get in the door and they're just watching us, like deadpan face, no emotion, nothing, just watching us try to get in the door. And I quickly realized the locks have been changed. Like my key is not, Rachel's key is not, you know, working. And they're literally just like chopping vegetables, looking at us like no. And I'm like,
it's like a horror film. I can like picture it as a horror film. It's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And I'm like, is this real? And I'm like pissed. I had like a triple that day. You know, I went from job to job to job. Like all I want is to get in my bed, like, and for her to just figure out how to be an adult about this. But that clearly was not going to happen. So then this dude who's in this kitchen, who was like her latest and greatest, right? He had only been around for not that long, actually. Like he seemed like a new toy. I'll say that.
But you had met him before.
I had met him a couple times.
Okay.
But like,
okay.
Truly, of all the people that came in and out of that house, like, whatever. So he goes over to like, there was a little tiny round table with like two chairs at it in the kitchen. That was like the dining room or whatever. And he just like pulls a chair, flips it around, sits on it backwards. And it becomes really clear. First of all, he's holding the chef's knife casually, and he has a gun. And I was like, oh, okay. So this is and he literally like faces the chair to just look out. The door that enters the kitchen has window panes on it, right? So we're just looking at each other.
And you're trying to, you realize your key's not working and he's staring at you and you can visibly see a gun and he's holding a knife.
And a knife. Yeah. And he's.
Yo, that has to be like, this is 11 years ago. Is it straight up like kind of seared this whole situation in Rachel's brains? Has to be, right? That's insane.
To some degree, for sure. I mean, I was like, yeah, I felt like I was in a movie, but also wasn't surprised at the same time. You know, it was surreal. It was so surreal. And honestly, Rachel's a little bit fiery, and I love that about her. And I have had a day, and I'm not the one. And I'm never that person, but, like, today, I'm not the one. I'm like, this is fucking ridiculous. Can we not just grow up about this? Like, this is an insane reaction to this. And so then I start thinking, I'm honestly not really scared of him in that moment, because now in my mind, Elle is such a child that I almost can't take this seriously. Does that make sense?
Totally.
So I call the cops because while I'm not afraid of her or him, I am afraid of what they can do to my things. And at that age and time in my life, you know, that would have been like a devastating blow to not have my things. Like, you can't really afford to come back from that, right?
Of course.
So I was like, fuck this. And I called the cops. And I do remember I didn't mention the weapons because I was wary. Like, she does know people, like I said, who would live and die for her. And I was not interested. I just wanted this scenario to be over, right? I wasn't trying to like encourage future scenarios, if that makes sense. So I was like, you know, locks have been changed. We're locked out. I pay to live here. Like, I just want my stuff and I will go. Like, I am not interested in prolonging this, whatever. And the cops sent someone. While we were waiting for the cops, I worked at a restaurant at the time. I had to call like one of my regulars. He was the only person I knew with a truck. And I called him crying and I begged. I mean, this truck was like, he's a landscaper. He has a really, it's a nice truck. I was like an irresponsible 20 whatever year old. I was crying, begging him. I was like, you don't understand the situation. I can't even talk to you right now, but I need your truck. And I got his truck. And the cops came and we finally like got into the house and Elle was still cooking fucking dinner. Like, none of this was happening.
And no words had been exchanged between y'all in this period of time. No. So like, you're outside, you're calling cops.
Yeah.
And it's not like you, she didn't say anything out the window, nothing. Like, you, finally cops come, you go in together.
And mind you too, what was even weirder about this is I swear to you, she bought an apron for the occasion. Like, she's not Holly Homemaker, but I promise you, this was one of her like buys at Walmart that day.
She went to Walmart and picked out her apron.
I'm serious. And yeah, I felt like I was in a horror movie. Like,
diabolical, Jake. It's diabolical.
I was just like, what is happening? She's in this frilly fucking apron trying to pretend like she's Holly Homemaker. Meanwhile, like, she definitely just had a dude not threaten us, but like, you know.
Well, yeah. Kinda.
You know?
Had this dude had a gun previously when he was over? Know. Like, did you remember a gun? You don't know.
No, but, like, I mean, no. But
that being visible is
I was
just
never like, interested sure like, in being friends with her friends because they're very much the type of people who would have guns. You know, I never saw one, but. Yeah, just I wasn't surprised at all.
I'm sure she called it out. She was like, and Wendy, come over. Why don't you bring that 380? You're always like, you know, bring that over.
And I'm going to wear an apron and we're going to pretend like we're a civil couple.
It was just the strangest thing. And then we were in the kitchen and she was like trying to speak like, yeah, officer, I own this house and, you know, they can come back at a designated hour, like, you know, she was trying to like, and I was just like, I'm not trying to come back. I'm trying to get my stuff and I'm trying to leave. And I think eventually they were kind of like, do these people pay to live here? If yes, you need to give them access to the home. And it eventually became, y'all have 1 hour. They asked us, I think, do you feel safe? And we were like, not really.
But I got this landscaping truck and a weed whacker now. So I'm like, I feel a little bit more safe. But
so they were like, okay, you have an hour to collect your things. And a cop stood in the kitchen for an hour. And I mean, he was like looking at his watch every 5 minutes. He did not want to be there. I didn't want to be there. None of us wanted to be there. Now, Rachel, I told you, lived in a loft. So we're like throwing mattresses down this loft. We're like filling trash bags. I mean, we're like, leave the furniture, like take what you can grab, you know? And of course, while we're packing, I realized, like, you know, I have a work laptop, gone. I have a personal laptop, gone. Everything gone, right? Like, there are things that are gone. There, I bought like 3 or 4 air conditioning units for the house, gone. And like I said, you know, I'm lucky enough now in my life that I could recover from something like that. But at that time, like, I could not.
I mean, for anyone, it doesn't matter. Like, yeah. All your shit's gone. Like, yeah. What? That's insane.
It was truly insane. But
you just had to get out of there. I mean, yeah. Get away from her. She's like a...
But it was so calculated, Jake, because my bed was still made in pristine condition, right? Like, my clothes were still hanging. It was like she knew what she was going to take to, like, ruin me. You know, and she did it while we were at work. Like, it was just so strange. And so, yeah, we took what we could, which honestly ended up being pretty much everything because we didn't have a lot. But, you know, me and Rachel are like 5'2", you know, 120 pounds soaking wet, like carrying mattresses up. So you don't know this, Justin, but this house was like deep down a very steep hill. So you had to go down like 50 wooden steps that were like this steep, this tall, and like this thick. So you're like tripping, falling, like sweating, like it's work to get to and from this house from the street. And we're just like hauling ass, you know, we have an hour and the cop keeps reminding us like how much time we have. And Elle continues to get less and less friendly as this interaction goes on. She's like telling the cop, like, I know cops in Marlboro or Hudson or whatever town we were in. I don't even remember. You know, she was like, I know cops. Like, this is ridiculous. You can't do this. She was yelling at me and Rachel. She was like, again, with the, I have people lined up to live here. Like, I have people lined up to be my friend. Like, I work so hard for this house. All I ask is that you guys pay rent and that, you know, whatever. And so we're like listening to her chirp. We're listening to the cop like count down the minutes and we're just like stuff in trash bags, like sweating. It was such a mess. It was such a mess.
Realizing real time that like your work laptop was taken, yeah. Your other whatever else was gone, and you're like, holy shit.
Mind you, we have nowhere to go. Like, where are we gonna go? We don't have friends who can like take us in. All of our friends live with their parents. Like, where, you know, we're just So that's how that kind of ended.
And was that the like last time you talked to her? Like, did you end up paying rent for 2 months? What happened?
I think we did pay rent for 2 months specifically because we were going to take her to small claims court for all of the stuff. And we didn't want to be anywhere near fault for anything, right? Like, we wanted to just be upstanding citizens. Like, I mean, honestly, we had been up until that point, right? Like, we really did try to be fair to her, whether it was out of fear or not, doesn't really matter. But yeah, so I think we did end up paying her. And then we ended up taking her to small claims court because, like I said, I mean, that's not a small amount of money or belongings when you're that age or in whatever situation we were in. And so court was the last time that we saw her.
Crazy and fitting also. I've said previously, like, the number of times this woman has been in and around courthouses, like, blows my mind. Is like, more than anyone I've ever...
It is true. Yeah. And I wonder how she has done this great job of scrubbing the records of it, because I went for a blink. I went all around to every courthouse and got all these records, but I didn't find you.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm curious if that would find me. Yeah. I mean, I did do a quick like Google search. I don't know how this stuff works at all. But like when we started talking, I was like, I wonder if it was the Framingham Courthouse or the Marlboro Court or whatever it was. And I like tried to do a quick search and then I quickly realized that's not really how you look for that stuff.
So I went into the courthouses of Marlboro, Westboro, Worcester, not Framingham. And I actually got on their archaic little computer and searched like her everything going back like 20 years. And I found a lot of shit, but not you.
That's crazy.
And so it makes me wonder, and that's just in like 4 towns in math. Right.
Well, so did the small claims thing work in your favor? Like, did you get what you asked for?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That was also a really surreal experience.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Again, like the details of my memory, probably not there, but I remember the gist, which was, I remember she showed up in like a suit. And I remember being like, this is soft. Like, what, where are we? Like, what movie are you in right now? I don't understand what's going on. And we sat down and, you know, the judge gives you 2 minutes. I mean, frankly, they don't really care, right? But they gave us like 2 minutes to say our piece. And then they gave her 2 minutes to say her piece. And just like the tone and the words that she was using, so performative, you know? Meanwhile, like me and Rachel were just stating facts. We were like, look, this is the day that this happened. This is the stuff that we had before it happened. And this is the stuff that we no longer have. Like, I don't really know. You know, we made attempts to contact her about this stuff. We made attempts to like be amicable about this stuff. You know, when it became clear that we were not getting our stuff back, this is the action that we took. And she just kept trying to like chime in with the perfect answer. And you could tell that he was like over it. He was pretty much like, could see through everything that she was saying. And so much so that I was like, look, I don't know how this works. I've never been to court, but I have these text messages. Like, is that something, you know, that you'd be interested in? And he was like, we don't allow phones, you know, in the court. So I kept trying to make my case like outside of that. And eventually he was like, go get your phone. And I got my phone and he read through the text, you know, he swiped for 30 seconds and he was just like, okay, this bitch is crazy.
Like text between, like your text messages with her directly. And he just swipes through and he's like.
Said, I think that what he saw were the facts that we brought to the table were true, 1000%, right? And that everything she was bringing to the table was like more qualitative, just very like fluffy. You know, I mean, it wasn't, she clearly didn't respond to my text messages in the way that she was saying she responded, right? She clearly wasn't giving us an opportunity to get our stuff back. She clearly wasn't doing the things that she was saying she was doing. And so he was just kind of like.
He probably saw one of those novels too of like you, this and that and the other, and was like, okay, I got it.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been any number of things, but it was very entertaining to see the mood in the room changed very quickly, right? Like Rachel and I were scared that we weren't going to win. We couldn't afford not to win. And we were just trying to be like reasonable and factual and, but nervous that that wouldn't get us as far as being performative gets her in life, right? And so that was a choice that we made, was to not go that direction. And we didn't know if it was going to pan out. And then when it did, we were just kind of like, thank God.
How did it pan out? Like, tell us about that.
She ended up owing us money. And then he actually gave us a head start out of the courtroom. He basically was like,
y'all leave first and then yeah, we'll let Elle come after.
Yeah. And I forget how many minutes it was or, you know, whatever. But yeah, it was very much so like, we're going to give you some time to clear the area. And I don't know if that's, by the way, like, I don't know if that's standard.
It probably is.
I don't know, but that's definitely what happened with us. So, and that's, yeah, that's the last. And then we fully did not expect to see that money, you know, because again, don't know how court works. She's apparently never been held accountable for anything in her life. And so we were just kind of like, well, that was a win for us mentally and morally, but like, we'll see if it actually pans out. But we did end up getting a check like not long after.
Mommy Dearest wrote that one, I bet.
I don't understand that still to this day. Like, I have a lot of theories, but her family situation is very weird. Her money situation is very weird.
Maybe you can give me this.
Her family does know everyone in the town, because how do you just survive like that as a grown woman without someone doing it for you. I don't understand.
Which is probably what, I mean, I don't know, Jake, you married her. What do you think? Well, and why don't we use this as the opportunity to transition? Because that's crazy. Chelsea, thank you for sharing all of that. Wild.
Wait, there's one more thing before we transition. You had told me when we spoke that the other thing that happened, you know, we didn't talk about the check, but she like dropped off the face of the earth.
Yeah, like could not be like, so obviously she blocked us. I mean, that feels standard, you know? And at the time, like Facebook was not what it is today in terms of like privacy settings. You know, you couldn't really pick like who saw what. You were either blocked or you weren't, I think, if I remember correctly. And yeah, one day she was on the internet and then the next day she just was not. And we only had maybe one mutual friend who was actually a friend to both of us. And that person was either blocked or she legit like changed her number. I have no idea, but she stopped working at that bike shop and like was just gone. I don't even understand it, really. I don't understand it.
So how long after that, Jake, did you meet her? Because what year did you meet her for the first time?
2016.
And she still worked, she was at the bike shop, right?
Allegedly. I mean, I knew it existed, and she occasionally, I just like Chelsea, I took her there one day because she told me she had to go there, and I was like, what is that? And she works there, but she also was a student driver and a server that tended bar at the restaurant I was a sous chef at once a Friday, once a month. It was like, same thing. It was like, you know, very well put together and always working and, but, you know, does all these things, but never at work. Okay, we can segue, but I really have to pee.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.